I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, let's continue to discuss Eric Ciamarella and the fact that he is looking to be the quote-unquote the whistleblower. We just don't have another word to call him at this point in time. We've said gossip blower, maybe informant now may be the right word, or Brennan spy, to be honest, is probably more appropriate because I'm seeing a lot of talk ramping up that this guy was placed by Brennan into the Trump White House, and he was even mentioned in Lisa Page and Strzok messages between the two that he was an informant and he was placed to sabotage Trump. That's how it's looking. Hats off to Dan Bongino. He had this figured out on April 25th. Rush Limbaugh is now talking about it very openly. Alexander, what's your take on this breaking news with Eric Ciamarella?
Well, the thing that for me gives this theory great plausibility is that Dan Bongino had figured it out back in April. In other words, he'd already worked out that there was a spy or an agent working within the White House who had been planted there basically to spy on Trump and to keep the CIA leadership informed about Trump. Now, that makes a great deal of sense if you know about the events in the early months of the Trump administration and also during the transition period. But it makes a great deal of sense if you followed the events as closely as I did, that they actually had a source within the White House who was informing Brennan and company about the things that Trump was doing. And I have to say that the fact that this was figured out in April, many months before the whistleblower, inverted commas, because he's not really a whistleblower, I think informer is probably the correct word. Spy is another possible word, came forward. In fact, I think lends this theory even greater credibility because it suggests that long before the information that the whistleblower, or that the informer, if you like, was providing came out, several people had already worked out that there was somebody within the White House administration who simply could not be trusted, and he was clearly working against Donald Trump. Now, I'm going to add one important point, which is that this person, I am pretty sure it is Ciamarella. I mean, I can't really see who else it could have been, but this person clearly wasn't working by himself. He was working alongside the staff of the House Intelligence Committee, headed by Adam Schiff, and that is again very consistent with the fact that Adam Schiff, throughout Russiagate and subsequently, seems to have had a lot of privileged access to information that was going on within the White House, which he was leaking in his own way in order to discredit Donald Trump and to build a case against him. But also, it seems to me that he was clearly working very closely alongside a whole group of people who are operating together in pursuit of US policy, especially in Ukraine. I mean, this is what we've really started to see, that we have people like Bill Taylor, we've seen people like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, and of course, the CIA was heavily involved in engineering the coup in Ukraine in 2014 and was promoting the war in Ukraine. And it looks to me as if this whole group of people came together. They weren't happy by the fact that Donald Trump was talking about improving relations with Russia. They weren't happy about the fact that Donald Trump, when he first became president, was actually talking about lifting sanctions against Russia. He was talking about lifting the sanctions in return for an arms control agreement. I remember reading all about that in an interview Donald Trump gave with the Times of London just before the inauguration. They clearly weren't happy about all of that. They didn't want to see a rapprochement with Russia. They didn't want to see any change of policy in Ukraine. They wanted to advance as far as possible this agenda of maintaining a conflict in Ukraine and using Ukraine as part of their conflict against Russia. It seems to me that that was what was provoking, more than anything else, their hostility to Donald Trump. We saw their attempts to undermine Donald Trump during the Russiagate investigation. And it's completely logical to me that this same group of people, including Chiamarella, should have come forward in August of this year, working with, as I said, Adam Schiff in the House Intelligence Committee to restart this campaign against Donald Trump using Ukrainian policy. And now, of course, we have Ukrainegate. But it adds up. Now, we don't yet have all the connections, but it's beginning to look to me increasingly plausible. And if we remember, as I said, that this person had already been spotted as a potential spy and informer back in April, then that makes it even more plausible than it would appear to be otherwise.
Okay, we're going to take a look at that yes. April 25th Bongino revelation yes. and what Rush Limbaugh has also said about Eric Chiamarella. But before we get to that, Alexander, this is from Red States, Elizabeth Vaughn, and she breaks down who Chiamarella is. And as you mentioned, this guy has very deep ties to Ukraine.
Yeah.
So let me read you a little bit more about this guy's background as we break this story down. And it is really falling apart. We also have news that Chiamarella is not looking to testify to yeah. Adam Schiff. He's trying to walk that back. And it makes perfect sense. Once everybody gets a feeling as to who this guy is, why he doesn't yes. want to testify. So let me read you, Alexander, from Red State. Eric Chiamarella, he is a registered Democrat. He is a CIA analyst who specializes in Russia and Ukraine. He ran the Ukraine desk at the National Security Council in 2016. He was detailed over to the NSC in the summer of 2015 and worked for then National Security Advisor Susan Rice. He worked for former Vice President Joe Biden when he served as the Obama administration's point man for Ukraine. He may have flown over to Ukraine with Biden on Air Force Two. He worked for former CIA Director John Brennan and appeared to have been a highly valued employee. In June 2017, then National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster appointed EC to be his personal aide. EC did not have direct knowledge of the July 25th conversation between President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. It is very possible he learned about the call from NSC Director for European Affairs, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vidman, who testified last week before Adam Schiff's House Intelligence Committee. EC contacted at least one of Schiff's staff members prior to filing his complaint. Two of EC's colleagues from the NSC were hired by Adam Schiff this year, one of whom, Sean Miskow, was hired in August. He was posted to the NSC in the White House's West Wing in mid-2017 and left amid concerns about negative leaks to the media. He has since returned to CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. EC worked with hyper-partisan Ukrainian-American lawyer and activist Alexandra Chalupa in 2016 to dig up dirt on Trump. Chalupa's name will become very familiar as the scandal unravels. The pro-Hillary Chalupa, a former DNC contractor, has worked in the Clinton administration and has held various staff positions for Democratic lawmakers. Sperry wrote, documents confirm the DNC opposition researcher attached at least one White House meeting with Chiamarella in attended at least one White House meeting. She visited the White House with a number of Ukrainian officials lobbying the Obama administration for aid for Ukraine. And finally, Alexander, Sperry reported that federal records show Biden's office invited Chiamarella to an October 2016 state luncheon the vice president hosted for Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi. Other invited guests included Brennan, as well as then FBI Director James Comey and then National Intelligence Director James Clapper.
Well, there you go. You've got the whole group, the whole gallery, if you like, of co-conspirators, because that's what they look to me to be. There, you've got Joe Biden, who was running affairs in Ukraine. You've got Susan Rice, who was the head of the National Security Council, which basically supervised the actual workings of the 2014 February coup in Ukraine, and who is known to have been very antagonistic to the Russians. We have all of these various people on the ground, Vindman, Charamella himself, obviously, who seems to have been involved in all sorts of things. We have the contacts with the extremely partisan and belligerent Ukrainians who are also involved with the DNC, Alexandra Chalupa. And last but not least, we also have all of the, we have John Brennan himself, the star of the show, if you like. The
Comey,
man
pulls, Clapper.
Well, indeed, who pulls all the strings, who's clearly the real person, if you don't, in my opinion, who seems to have been running the US intelligence community in 2015, 2016. I mean, it seems to me that Clapper was basically doing anything that Brennan told him to do. And it was Brennan also who seems to have been able to get Comey to dance to his tune. Not that these people, Comey and Clapper, I suspect, ever needed much convincing. But he certainly seems to me to have been right at the center of this web. And here we see it in action. And here we see a person, Charamella, very close to Biden, very close to Susan Rice, very close to Brennan, in fact, especially close to Brennan. He's also working with H.R. McMaster, that's Donald Trump's second national security advisor, who he was advised to appoint to that post by none other than Senator John McCain. So we have this extraordinary complex of people, all of them come together. McCain, of course, comes along to Ukraine. He makes speeches in Ukraine during the Maidan events. He supports the Maidan events. He's the person who wants to pursue conflict with Russia at every opportunity and at every turn. So, you know, one has to say, when one looks at this web of connections that Charamella has, it's not surprising that he is an enemy of Donald Trump's. It's not surprising if he is somebody who's acting an informer. And it does increasingly look to me as if he was put in that position, which he was put in, specifically in order to provide information against Trump. And last but not least, and this is, I think, specifically on Ukrainegate, we see that the person who really starts off this whole ball rolling about this telephone call is none other, it seems, than Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who's the person who tells Charamella what supposedly happened over the course of this call. If that is right, then it's important to say that Vindman himself is not able to point to anything in the call itself that is wrong or improper. And his edits that he was so unhappy about because they were not included were, as I said, inconsequential. They don't actually change the meaning of the transcript or of the conversation in any way. So we see all of this group of people, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, he's connected with Charamella. I'm sure both of these people are in some way connected with Bill Taylor, who's the senior diplomat in Kiev. And it seems to me that, as I said, you have all the pieces coming together in one place.
This is so bad. This is so bad. I mean, it's Vindman had to be reprimanded, by the way, Alexander, by his superiors for, and I quote, inappropriate and partisan behavior in the military. I mean, he's very partisan, this guy.
Well,
yes.
Well, indeed, what he has said, and I'm not the only person who's noticed this, several people have made this point. What he says in his original submission, the public one, is that Donald Trump, as president of the United States, subverts US foreign policy. US foreign policy is decided by the president of the United States. That is his constitutional prerogative and duty. It is not for a lieutenant colonel to decide what the foreign policy of the United States is and to try to enforce his opinions on what that foreign policy is or should be on the president. I mean, that is a complete reversal of anything, of anything anybody should take from the way in which the United States constitutional system operates. I mean, it is in effect an admission that this is a coup attempt.
Yeah,
That's what it is.
absolutely.
That is what it is.
It's even worse than that, Alexander. You actually have people now that are cheering on the deep state as they try
Yes.
to remove the U.S. president, and they're actually supporting the deep state to create policy. I mean, there are people in the media, there are people in the press who are saying we prefer to have the deep state and the
In
State
control.
Department and the diplomats, yeah, creating policy rather than the president. This is massive.
It is absolutely massive. In fact, by the way, a former acting director of the CIA has also said as much. He's not only admitted that there is such a thing as a deep state, he's actually praised it. He says just as well that there is a deep state because that safeguards the foreign policy of the United States from meddling politicians like the President of the United States. A few days ago, a short while ago, we did a video on the question of the Michael Flynn, the plot against Michael Flynn. And if you remember, over the course of that video, I said, Alex, that the United States is in danger of going from being a constitutional republic governed by law to becoming a national security state. Well, in the words of the deputy director of the FBI, of the CIA, the former acting director of the CIA, and in the form of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you see that doctrine is now being actively formulated.
That is exactly what's going on, Alexander. What you have here right now is more than a coup. You actually have the possible takeover of the entire American government
Yes.
by intelligence officials.
Yes, it goes far beyond Donald Trump.
Far
Because,
beyond
as I said,
Donald Trump, yeah.
far beyond Donald Trump. Because, of course, any president, any future president, could find himself, will find himself in this situation. Let's say a future Democratic president wants, for his own or her own reasons, to improve relations with Russia. I don't exclude that possibility. I think it's entirely likely they will run up against the same kind of people who, to be perfectly clear, they don't. Their loyalty is not to the Democratic Party or to the Republican Party. Their loyalty is to the institutions which they themselves have now started to refer to as the deep state, and which they are now openly saying should decide US foreign policy. And as you absolutely rightly say, Alex, it is extremely disturbing indeed that the media in the United States, far from criticizing language of this kind, is actually supporting it.
Well, they're involved in it. They're part of the takeover of the U.S. government,
Well, indeed. I
the
mean,
U.S. system. They're part of the takeover of the entire U.S. system, all of American history, everything that has taken place up until today is at risk of just being wiped away, Alexander, wiped away.
Well, indeed, sir, because I mean, I think it's fair to say there are lots of people in the media who are very close and heavily involved with the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon and the military industrial complex and all of these things. There are also, I think, some deluded and foolish people who have been swept along by Trump derangement syndrome, that they are blinding themselves, they are shutting their eyes to the reality of what is happening because they hate Donald Trump so much that they are prepared to support the Brennans and the Vindmans and the Charamellas and all the others. And of course, I mean, the Strucks and the Comeys and all those sort of people. But can I say again, if the United States, if the United States is unable to prevent this thing from continuing in the way that it is, then it ceases to be a democratic constitutional republic. Because in that case, the unelected bureaucracy, not the man or woman who is elected to be president of the United States, decides policy. And that is an immense thing. That is extremely disturbing if we ever reach that point.
Yeah, the permanent state is looking to permanently take over the reins of power. And they're openly admitting it. But Alexander, let's move it along now.
Yeah. Before we do that, one other thing. Of course, if it's true, and I think it is true, that this man, Charamella, was inserted into the White House in order to spy on the president of the United States, which is what we are now hearing, that is incredibly disturbing in itself. It shows that the president is surrounded by people he can no longer trust because they are spying on him on behalf of unelected people within the bureaucracy. Again, that does not happen in democratic constitutional states ruled by law. That happens in national security states and in dictatorships.
Well, this is what's going on right now, Alexander. I mean, you're looking at the United States at risk of becoming a dictatorship. I mean, you're looking at that. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say. I'm not saying a dictatorship by one man or one person.
No.
A dictatorship by this deep state, this permanent state. That's what's happening at this point. And they're openly admitting it. The masks are off. The gloves are off. They're saying, this is what we want. We want Trump out and we want to take over. This is how we did it. And this is how we're going to do it. And you mentioned Alexander, so you can break this down even further. You mentioned that Charamella was probably placed there as a spy. So let me read you some excerpts from Zero Hedge, from Rush Limbaugh, from Bongino, and you can comment. So let's begin with Rush Limbaugh. Given that Charamella's rise within the Obama administration, the intelligence community, radio host Rush Limbaugh frames him as a spy. And I'm reading this from a Zero Hedge article, which put all this together. I quote, "He's lurking in there in the West Wing as an Obama holdover. He's essentially a spy for John Brennan. And he's there to do the dirty work of the deep state." That's Rush Limbaugh. Limbaugh cites journalist Cheryl Atkinson, who wrote in response to Sperry's outing of Charamella, "If the reporting is correct, it implies the whistleblower could have been worried Trump was getting close to uncovering Democrat links to Ukraine's interference in U.S. elections in 2016. And if Charamella was a deep state spy in the West Wing, former FBI employees Peter Strzok and Lisa Page are potentially involved, as pieced together by Fox News contributor and former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino, who starts with an April 25th letter from Senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson to Attorney General William Barr asking about cryptic text messages between Strzok and Page in which they discuss someone named, quote, Charlie, who may be, quote, the CI guy. Bongino posits that Strzok and Page may be talking about Charamella being a, quote, confidential informant, CI, or spy, and notes that Paul Sperry may have dropped a hint in the way he included a pronunciation note regarding the whistleblower's name pronounced Charamella, may have referred to Charlie in the Strzok Page texts, Alexander.
Yes, well, I mean, the other point to make is that if there was an informer within the White House, from what we now know, it's very difficult to say who else it could have been. And that letter, which was written by Senator Grassley. Now, Grassley is, of course, somebody who has played a very active role. He's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's played a very careful role looking at all the various documents in Russiagate. He is extremely well informed about what has been going on, and he's been very worried about all of these communications that have been happening between Strzok and Lisa Page. And the extent of Strzok and Lisa Page involvement in Russiagate is, of course, a matter of public record. I mean, that's no longer disputed. Even Mueller found them too extreme, basically, to keep on. And as we know, he sacked Strzok. So there isn't a problem on that side. Now, what I would say about this is, of course, we don't know everything that was going on, far from knowing everything that was going on. But the very fact that there are cryptic messages being exchanged, and, you know, if Grassley refers to them as cryptic messages, that is extremely, you know, we can rely on him. He's somebody who is reliable about this sort of thing. He's a well-known, very experienced politician of known integrity. If he is talking about cryptic messages passing between two FBI officials referring to someone who appears to be an informer within the White House, because that seems to be what he's saying, that is already very disturbing. And if you join up all the dots, if you look at all the information we now have, I come back to what I said. If it's not Charamella, who was it? No one else that I've heard about seems to fit so well the picture of this person who could have acted as an informer in this way. And there we have a situation where there's a CIA official within the White House keeping watch on the president, reporting apparently to John Brennan, who, bear in mind, after Donald Trump's inauguration, ceases to be director of the CIA. So if he really is reporting to Brennan, and the implication of all of this is that he is, then he is leaking classified information about what the president of the United States is doing, not to the chief of the CIA, but to a former chief of the CIA. Now, remember, some time ago, Donald Trump tried to strip Brennan of his entitlement to classified information. And one again begins to sense that maybe what was happening was the people within the Trump White House realized that Brennan was getting information from someone in the White House. So that's the first thing to say. But the other thing is, this person was apparently keeping the CIA and the ex-leadership of the CIA informed about what was going on in the White House. The same person was leaking classified information about, say, Donald Trump's meetings with the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. He was leaking that to the media. And last but not least, he was leaking the same information to the FBI, who perceived him, or so we seem to understand from these cryptic messages that Grassley refers to, passing between Strzok and Page, they perceive him as an informer. So this is really very, very troubling. This is extraordinary. This is an extraordinary situation in which, as I said, we have a spy in the White House spying on the president on behalf of the former leadership of the CIA, the current leadership of the CIA, certain people in the National Security Council, the FBI, leaking to the media, protecting, as you rightly say, the Democrats, and the connection that some Democratic politicians, like Joe Biden specifically, seem to have had with the Ukraine, and working with people like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, that, you know, because they're not happy with the president's conduct of his foreign policy. Now, if this does not repay proper investigation, I can't imagine what does. So it doesn't surprise me that this man is now refusing to give evidence in the impeachment proceedings. And I am absolutely sure that William Barr, who was the recipient of this letter from Grassley, is in fact actively looking into all of this. And I'm going to make a guess that it is in fact Barr and Durham in the Justice Department investigating all of these things, which is what has triggered this latest twist of the Ukrainegate revelations, which have led to Ukrainegate.
All right, they better get to the bottom of this, Alexander. One final question as we wrap it up. It looks like these guys involved in all of this all have ties to Ukraine and once again to the Maidan. Yeah. We've said it multiple times that the origins of all of this start from the 2014 illegal coup in Ukraine. My thinking here is that Trump was on to what was going on with the Ukraine election meddling, not the Russia, the Ukraine election meddling. So the Democrats created this fake story, this Russiagate hoax, and it actually, maybe by accident, tipped off Trump to the fact that Ukraine was actually meddling in the elections. I mean, maybe by accident, who knows? Maybe Trump was onto it during the campaign. I don't know. You know, maybe they heard about Alexandra Chalupa as he was going through the campaigns. I don't think it matters. Trump was on to what was going on. He started to investigate it.
Yes.
He was getting close to not only the Ukraine election meddling, but digging up a lot of the corruption and the dirt that happened from the 2014 coup up to the present day. And all of that dirt involves all of these people. Ciaramella was also connected to Victoria Nuland, who was one of the key players in Maidan, along with John McCain and Jeffrey Pyatt, the ambassador there. So all these names are coming up again and again, and they're all involved in this spy ring against Trump and this Ukraine gate hoax. All the same names that were in Ukraine on the Maidan in 2014, speaking to the public at the Maidan Square and pushing the coup, are all the same people being named right now. And that includes Brennan, who made multiple trips to Ukraine in 2014, which the media never, ever reports. Yes. John Brennan was in Ukraine just about every other month during the coup. What does this say to you, Alexander?
Well, can I just say something? I mean, you say that Trump figured it out. Trump didn't need to figure it out because there was a person who was apparently telling him all these things. And that, of course, was Paul Manafort. I've now recently seen articles about this in the British media, in which apparently it's been now confirmed that Paul Manafort was telling him about the fact that the Ukrainians were meddling in the election, that they were working together to work on the Black Ledger, about what Alexandra Chalupa was doing, and that it was also Paul Manafort who first told Trump that the Ukrainians had some kind of connection with the hacking allegations, the DNC hacking allegations. So it's not surprising if having your own campaign manager, which is what Paul Manafort was for a short time in the summer of 2016, and someone who is extremely well informed about what's going on in Ukraine, as of course Paul Manafort was and is well informed about what was going on in Ukraine. If having someone like that telling you all of these things, if Trump himself worked it all out, it would not be difficult, because as I said, Manafort is precisely the sort of person who would know, and Manafort apparently was telling him. I mean, you know, I think it's largely confirmed. So it's not surprising that Donald Trump would want all these questions asked. I'm sure he's discussed this, or some of his people have discussed it, with William Barr, who is now the Attorney General of the United States. And by the way, can I say, that is entirely appropriate. It is entirely appropriate for the President of the United States to discuss with the head of the Justice Department concerns he might have about corrupt practices by American politicians and political leaders, and also about the interference of a foreign country in an election. So that there'll be nothing surprising about that. And we know that Barr and Durham are investigating the involvement of Ukraine in the 2016 election, because the Justice Department has admitted to as much. So, you know, there isn't any real mystery there. We don't really have to connect the dots too hard to see what was going on. Can I come back to what I said on previous videos? Andrew McCarthy, who is a former federal prosecutor, a very, very conservative man, no doubt, but also a man, you know, with very measured views, has already made the same point that we have made, that Ukrainegate is about blocking or trying to derail the Barr-Durham investigations into the origins of Russiagate. Now, a lot of people looking at those investigations must be seriously worried that if they really take off and people in Ukraine are asked too many questions, then it's going to reveal an awful lot of other things about corruption that's also going on. And if it's correct what Oleg Tsarev said in the interview he gave a few, you know, a short time ago, which we previously covered, that there is already a Justice Department investigation looking into the corruption of American officials in Ukraine, which dates from 2018, and we have seen some evidence recently which appears to corroborate that, though it doesn't confirm it. Well, it's not surprising that if all those investigations are really happening and are going on, that that is making some people in Washington extremely worried.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button, click on the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications. Get an audio copy of this video on SoundCloud and iTunes. The link is in the description box down below. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps us out a lot. You can find links to those in the description box as well. And also head over to the Duran shop and pick up some great merchandise, magic mugs, t-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. Alexander, you're traveling and you have a mug with you.
Of course I have a mug. How could I not have a mug with me, Alex? I mean, I need mugs like this to keep me reassured and refreshed. 15 ounces, perfect porcelain body. This one, as I said, with the double-headed eagle of Moscow and St. George, the courageous knight, slaying the dragon of force of fake news and untruth there. So, of course, I carry our magic mugs with me wherever I go. And, of course, I also wear these marvelous shirts. This is a magnificent grey 100% cotton polo shirt. My wife has told me how smart I look in polo shirts, so I'm sure I look absolutely great in this one. And you can see here I've got the Duran double-headed eagle on it, which is beautifully embroidered. I mean, it really... wonderfully well made. And of course our double-headed eagle is different from the Moscow one. We have it because it looks in both directions, east and west, and it does so with the eye of the eagle, so it's able to spot all the most detailed things that happen. So our viewers have heard the extraordinary detail that we're able to bring to these videos, how we're able to look at every little thing that happens. We're able to do that because we have this penetrating sight that the double-headed eagle gives us. And of course, we don't just have these beautiful polo shirts. We also have T-shirts, long-sleeve T-shirts. We've got hoodies. We've got hats. We've got stickers. You've been refreshing our products. So we've got all kinds of wonderful new products all out there, all of them of exceptional quality. Our viewers who bought them are delighted with them. The feedback we're getting is excellent. So what are you waiting for? Help the Duran, help yourself, buy these fantastic products. Alex will tell you how to do it.
You can find the link to the Duran shop in the description box down below, theduranshop.com. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.